Welcome to Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene. Vegan Nation is an informational program about living the vegan lifestyle, featuring interviews with individuals and organizations who are practicing a healthy vegan lifestyle. Welcome to Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene. We are very fortunate to be joined by Mary Lawrence, executive chef and owner of Well on Wheels, Connecticut's premier vegan personal chef service, and Ahimsa Health and Harmony, a vegan wellness center in Hartford, Connecticut. She is a frequent guest chef on radio, TV, including the popular vegan podcast Our Hen House, and a speaker at numerous conferences and festivals. Mary Lawrence is a writer and food blogger, and her culinary creations can be followed on her blog, The Traveling Vegan Chef. She is a contributor to the Friends of Animals cookbook, The Best of Vegan Cooking, and in 2007 she published her first cookbook, Quick and Easy Vegan Cuisine. Her most recent cookbook, Easy Peasy Vegan Eats, is a guide for people making the vegan transition. Mary earned a certificate in plant-based nutrition from the Dr. T. Colin Campbell Foundation at E. Cornell University, an MA in communication from the University of Hartford, and a BA in English from the University of Connecticut. She has taught English as an adjunct professor at Gateway Community College, University of Hartford, and Manchester Community College. And she also studied culinary arts in New York City. Mary Lawrence is a member of the American Vegan Society, and she is the co-chair of the Green Party Animal Rights Committee. Thank you very much, Mary, for joining us on Vegan Nation.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Well, you're amazing. You're powerful. You're humble. And I am so excited to hear about your journey, how this all began. So let's start with that.
Okay, yeah. Well, I've always considered myself an animal lover, but I never really made that connection until I had a health crisis. So right before my 30th birthday, or I should say leading up to it, I was sick all the time. I had sinus infections. I was tired, migraine headaches pretty much every day, all sorts of digestive issues, which I won't get into, but various things that compromised my health. And when I went to regular doctors, they said I needed to do two things. I had to be on medication the rest of my life, and they said I was allergic to my dog and I had to get rid of my dog. So I didn't want to do either of those things. And I started doing some research, and that's when I found a naturopathic doctor who essentially said I had to change everything I eat. And I never made that connection before, that the food I was eating was making me sick. And I asked her, can I keep my dog? And she said, of course, I would never ask you to get rid of a family member. So that to me was, I was all set to follow whatever she told me. Through that process, it took me about 3 months of getting healthy, really a lot of detoxing. And I started researching food and agriculture, how animals are treated. And really just that resonated with me as far as not wanting to harm animals anymore. So I changed initially because of my health, but I stuck with it because of the animals, and I really did not want to support that system anymore. So that's kind of what started me on the journey, my 30th birthday, and it really wasn't like a point in the sand where I said I'm going to do it, but I just had that health crisis and decided to just change everything from that point on.
Whoa, that's an inspiring story of what can seem as something that's negative, where it turns into something very positive.
Yeah, definitely. I really look back on that time and I kind of feel grateful that I did get sick, because I know many people live their lives and they say they're perfectly healthy or they're happy, you know, just taking over-the-counter medication for allergies or for digestive problems. And they don't really think that the food they're eating might be causing those symptoms.
Is that what led you to Well on Wheels?
Yeah, and that kind of happened as an accident as well. I didn't intend to be a vegan personal chef, but as I changed my diet, I had to relearn how to cook. And all the food that I was making, everyone was pleasantly surprised how delicious it was. And they kept saying, you should open a restaurant. So I was teaching at the time and decided to go back to school and get a culinary arts certificate, thinking I might open a restaurant someday. Through that process, I learned restaurant business is not for me. It's a very fast-paced, high-pressure, stressful lifestyle, and I really admire anyone that does it. But for me, I was more about balancing my life and making sure that I manage the stress in my life, because I know that can also compromise your health. So all of the information that I learned as far as knife skills, plating, foods that, you know, flavors that go together, it really inspired my cooking. So I got more creative with my basic skills that I started with. And really, it just felt like an adventure. It was a new joy that was developing. I've always considered myself a creative person, and I was able to express it with my food. So I decided to start teaching cooking classes, since I was a teacher, and combining my two passions of cooking and teaching, I did adult education cooking classes and wanted to share with people what I was learning, because back then, so this was 19 years ago, there really wasn't much information out there, and it was difficult without the internet to have easy access to these kinds of foods. So teaching my cooking classes for adult education, one of my students loved my food and asked if I would cook for her, and she ended up becoming my first client. I never realized, I never imagined that through word of mouth, my business would grow enough so that I could do this full time. And so that's what I do now. My business is full time. I also still teach part time because I enjoy the classroom. And I also use that as an opportunity to educate with vegan principles as well. So I do pretty much everything with my business. I teach cooking classes. I cook for people in their homes. I do presentations at libraries and schools. Really just trying to get that message out to people that it's easier than you think as long as you know where to begin.
That's fabulous, and especially 19 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah, and it really is amazing how quickly I think. I look back on that time and it was so difficult to get information, but just really within that period of time, the last especially 5 years or so with the internet, there's so much information available, so many services and products available that, you know, if you have a computer, anything you can access online, you can pretty much bring to your home. So it's a great world that we're living in as far as convenience and availability of information.
You're one of the pioneers, and we are very grateful to you.
Thank you.
And I'm especially interested in hearing about going into the schools.
Yeah, and that's been a different challenges because connecting with people through the adult education programs, I've actually had a lot of people contacting me, wanting me to teach in the school systems. It doesn't end up being a semester-long curriculum or anything like that. They're usually one-time classes. But I do find that opportunity of just reaching regular, average, everyday people who never imagined they would be eating vegan. You know, that word itself sometimes can be intimidating to people. I use it all the time. I want to normalize it. So I don't say plant-based. I know some people do. I do focus on the food, but I also bring in the vegan ethical message when I teach classes, just to get people thinking, because when I first changed, really, it was about a dietary change. I felt the same way. But only after you start educating yourself and you see the connections that the food on your plate, it's not just what you're eating, it's that extension of where the food comes from, how the workers are treated, how the animals are treated, and just the question of whether we should even be exploiting animals that way. All those things come up when I teach cooking classes.
That's wonderful. And I love the name of your business, Well on Wheels.
Yeah, thank you. It kind of was a spin on the Meals on Wheels nonprofit organization. I love their idea of delivering meals to people. I actually volunteered for Meals on Wheels back in high school many, many decades ago. And the food itself was not vegan oriented. So that was really what I had thought starting my business, is to have a vegan version of Meals on Wheels, delivering the food to people's homes and having it be healthy.
That's great. And speaking of wonderful business names, I also really like the name of Ahimsa Health and Harmony Wellness Center.
Yeah, thank you. That's a new business, or I should say a branch, as I've developed my personal chef service and started teaching cooking classes and doing a lot of outreach. I really wanted to have a location, so like a community center where people could come to for support so they can feel there is a vegan space available that is beneficial to not only themselves. Like most wellness centers, they're great for yoga, meditation, and really, you know, compassion towards ourselves, but they don't often make that connection to all sentient beings. So, you know, the idea of compassion for all animals and ahimsa being nonviolence. I really want to stress those two messages combined. And then conversely, we often have people who are activists, I know, who are very overworked, who do a lot of volunteering, do demonstrations. You know, basically they're trying to help animals 24 hours a day as far as rescuing and things like that, and often get burnt out or just really have their energy depleted after a while of doing that. So I wanted to have a space that also focuses on compassion towards ourselves and really loving ourselves enough to not get too, I guess I could say, compulsive sometimes, that we, you know, we want to save them all, don't we? We want to do everything we can, but we have to realize no matter how much we do, the reality is there's always more to be done. But just accepting that, and then accepting that we are doing as much as we can. So really, compassion towards ourselves, I wanted to stress that message as well for the activist community.
Beautiful, thank you. And when I saw your business, Ahimsa Health and Harmony, I was really happy that you called it Ahimsa, because that is nonviolent, so it's very important to know that that's vegan, because it cannot include dairy if we're talking about nonviolence. And so I was happy to see that you're uplifting the world and in relationship to Ahimsa, that Ahimsa is vegan. And also that it's in Hartford, Connecticut.
Yes, right in the center of the state. It's in a beautiful converted industrial warehouse building. It used to be the Royal Typewriter Factory. And it's right next to an arts community called Real Art Artways. It's just, yeah, a great space. Very welcoming, and really I just want to build that community. I also have a vegan health and wellness meetup group with over 850 members that I just started a year and a half ago, and I'm surprised and pleasantly surprised that just within a year and a half we now have that many members. So for anyone listening out there from Connecticut, or anyone that is curious about what's happening in Connecticut, I'll say there are a lot of people that are very interested in veganism.
We're listening to Mary Lawrence, the executive chef and owner of Well on Wheels, a personal vegan chef service. She is also the owner of Ahimsa Health and Harmony Vegan Wellness Center in Hartford, Connecticut. This is Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene, and we're going to take a short break. And after the break, we'll continue our conversation with Mary Lawrence, who is also the co-chair of the Green Party Animal Rights Committee, and we'll hear all about that.
Hi, this is Emma with the Regional Environmental Council. You're listening to WCUW Worcester 91.3 FM, community radio serving central Massachusetts, online at wcuw.org.
What a beautiful world.
Hi, this is Troy. You're listening to WCUW. Tune in on Fridays and hear the Jukebox of Americana, Fridays from 9 to 12 noon.
Beautiful world.
This is your very own Dr. G behind the microphone here at WCUW.org, streaming out across those interwebs and live 91.3 FM. Community radio serving Worcester and beyond. I'll be bringing you yet another patent-pending sonic thrill ride designed to have you prancing around your yurt while consuming your finest non-GMO and heirloom granola every Thursday morning from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Much love, and I'll see you soon out there in the ethers.
Welcome back from the break. This is Marlene Narrow. I'm your host at Vegan Nation. We're very fortunate to be joined by Mary Lawrence, who is the executive chef and owner of Well on Wheels, a vegan personal chef service. And she is also the owner of Ahimsa Health and Harmony Vegan Wellness Center in Hartford, Connecticut. And before the break, we were hearing about her journey into veganism through health, in her healing, and then her inspiration to start her two businesses. And she is also the co-chair of the Green Party Animal Rights Committee. And now we'll be hearing from Mary about the Green Party Animal Rights Committee. Thank you so much, Mary, for joining us on Vegan Nation.
Thank you. Yeah, so that's been a recent change in my life as far as activism. I've been an activist probably for about the past 10 or so years. With my business, as I mentioned, I do education, so I consider that as a form of activism as well. And doing nutrition coaching, I have a certificate in plant-based nutrition from the T. Colin Campbell Institute at Cornell. And I was advising people to eat healthier based on principles of plant-based foods being anti-inflammatory, having the antioxidants that help improve your health. And all of that is important to me, but I really wanted to expand my message, as I said before, to the activism. So in addition to, you know, demonstrations, protests, doing leafleting and various other kinds of activities, it always felt like it's reactionary. So I was always looking for ways to be proactive. How as activists, can we put that message out there in a positive way without feeling like we're putting out flames all the time? So the Green Party is a political party that to me seemed to have a lot of the ideals that I believe in. I'm very, very much interested in the environment, nonviolence, social justice, all of those issues. So we seemed compatible on all those levels, except there seemed to be that piece missing of the animal rights message. So about a year and a half ago is when I proposed forming a national animal rights committee to address these issues. And it took some time to get that approved, but as of March of 2016, that was approved. And we now have, I think, about 29 members from 15 states in the country who were all working together. We put together a platform on various issues related to animal rights, like animals in entertainment, animals in, obviously, the food industry, since we've been talking about that, but companion animals, wild animals, all aspects where animals have some kind of, or humans have some kind of interaction with animals. We felt there was a need to have some policies around that and legislation that we'll be advocating for on a national level as well as local level. So that's been what I've been doing for political activism for the majority of last year, 2016, and we'll be continuing to do that this year.
And I have to say that I really enjoy your teleconferences that you have with various guests.
Yes, thank you. So that's something we've started doing recently, and we're going to continue to do more of, is having live stream interviews on Facebook and Periscope, which is Twitter's live stream platform, interviewing people in the field connected with animal rights. So we had a Green Party member from New York who was vegan and running for office as a congressperson. We had somebody speak from the Non-Human Rights Project. That was Matthew Dominguez. And he spoke about the move to legal personhood for animals, non-human animals. We just had Mary Turtle Rooker, who is a plant-based nutritionist in Maryland, speak about the eco-feminist connection to animal rights. We'll also have Lauren Arnellis from the Food Empowerment Project, who will be speaking about the food justice issues. And we hope to continue to have more interviews like these in the future with those overlapping areas of oppression. So there could be the LGBTQ community. There could be racial injustice connected to animal rights, all sorts of overlapping issues that we'll be addressing with these live stream interviews.
And I've enjoyed them all. And it is interesting how a large percentage of the population will rally behind an individual's experience and story when they can relate to one. And yet, if we look at the big picture, we can see that every individual, their life matters. And so when we can connect to one, the next leap is to connect to everyone, which is what it means to be vegan.
It's so true. And I highly recommend, just based on what you said, visiting a farm sanctuary where animals that have been rescued from slaughterhouses are taken and rehabilitated, and they live out their lives, and they're not going to be killed at the end of their lives. They're not serving any exploitative use. That was really the transformation for me when I went from essentially being a dietary change to an ethical vegan after I recovered my health. So that was within, let's see, it was around 1997. 3 years later, I visited Farm Sanctuary in Watkins Glen, New York. And I just remember sitting down with a flock of turkeys and just watching them and being fascinated by the way that they communicated with each other, and also the way they looked at me. And the ones that were more bold and curious came up to me, and one of them climbed into my lap and literally was purring in my lap, and I never realized that turkeys purr, and just, you know, stroking her head, sensing that pleasure like my cat has of just, you know, calm, comfort, trust. And it was just amazing to have that experience, and just really, at the same time, heartbreaking to think that the majority of turkeys that are raised in captivity don't ever experience that.
I know. And I have to say that I very much honor your work, and that also of your co-chair, Craig Seaman, from New York, the co-chair of the Green Party Animal Rights Committee, because I've learned a lot from both of you and your guests that you cover the full gamut of everything, and that this idea, such as you are describing with the turkey and the turkeys, in that once we as a collective, as humanity, and recognize that each individual life has a right, and that when we extend that and we stop discriminating, and that we really come down to practicing the golden rule, that that will lead to cultural transformation. And so the consciousness of domination and exclusion will be dissolved, and we'll have cultural transformation. And it begins with the work that you're doing, Mary. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for saying that. And I really think that's so important. I think of the work of Will Tuttle, based on what you were just saying, is that idea of consciousness raising. And it is also connecting with what we all inherently believe, which is compassion and empathy. It's a natural instinct to want to help, to want to prevent harm to other beings. Other species, you hear about this in the wild sometimes, of like a predator saving the life of what would normally be their prey. And it's so unusual. Or like a dog that might see a weak kitten and then go and help that kitten. And that actually happened in my experience. My previous dog, who, when I adopted her, they said, absolutely no cats. She chases them and she is a prey-oriented dog. On the side of the road, one of our morning walks, there was this little kitten we thought was dead. Or I should say, I thought was it. I don't know what my dog thought. But she went up to the kitten, sniffed her, and the kitten lifted his head. The short story is, even though the vet said you should put the kitten to sleep, I said, well, let's just give it a try, see how he does. Within 3 days, he had recovered. And my dog, who had previously been very aggressive towards cats and prey-oriented, she just started nursing, licking this kitten and just wanting to snuggle close with the kitten. And I think that is, on some level, that we all have that natural instinct to want to nurture and protect. And we, you know, whether we're male or female, it is instinctual. But unfortunately, through socialization, through various, you know, family traditions and, you know, really bad habits, we're socialized to ignore those feelings, to suppress them. So I think veganism is an idea about reconnecting and returning to that natural instinct and raising that as far as our consciousness and really spreading that message to other people, which is why, as I said, I teach cooking classes, but they're not just about food. They're not just about diet. It is about getting people to question these assumptions that we are led to believe are natural, but it's really just a matter of socialization that we believe what are actually dishonesties. They're camouflaging the truth that we as vegans uncover. So I really encourage, when I teach my English classes, I encourage my students to question everything. And I say the same thing with the students that attend my cooking classes, is to question those assumptions that we have in our society and really focus on what you believe as a compassionate, caring person to be the truth.
Very true. Well said, Mary Lawrence. Thank you. And we're coming to a close in the interview. Do you have an additional message for our listeners?
Well, I think as far as vegans, I think take that step if you're not yet an activist. Do what you can, at least be an everyday activist from your home, where you can spread the message. If you're on social media, through Facebook, through Twitter, sharing information, and sharing information with your family and friends. I'm working on a cookbook right now. It's called Eat Vegan With Me, and it will be focused on vegans who need to, or are trying to get their family and friends to become vegan as well. So that's really, I think, so important for advocacy within our own circles, is to do what we can to spread that message to family, friends, coworkers in a positive way so that it's normalized. Fortunately, things are changing and we don't have to worry about as much about the negative associations because there's so much information out there. And I would say documentaries, there's so many great ones. The Ghosts in Our Machine, Cowspiracy, Blackfish, Forks Over Knives. So watch a documentary with a non-vegan person and then discuss it with them. Really, these are the things that we need to be doing every day.
Thank you, Mary. And I'm very excited about your upcoming cookbook, Eat Vegan With Me. And you are amazing. And you're so clever with names. With Eat Vegan With Me, Well on Wheels, Ahimsa Health and Harmony, and also your position as co-chair of the Green Party Animal Rights Committee. Thank you very much, Mary Lawrence. And thank you for joining us on Vegan Nation.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mary. You're totally awesome.
Good. You too. Thank you. Have a good day.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That was Mary Lawrence, the co-chair of the Green Party Animal Rights Committee. Craig Seaman from New York is the other co-chair of the Green Party Animal Rights Committee. You can contact Mary and find out more information about her work at wellonwheels.com. Well on Wheels is her personal chef service. And she also has a wellness center, Ahimsa Health and Harmony Vegan Wellness Center in Hartford, Connecticut. Check out Mary's newest book, Easy Peasy Vegan Eats, Healthy Cooking for Busy Peeps. Please join us again next week for an Inauguration Day Vegan Nation special. And now let's go out with a song by Will Tuttle. This is Alive. In celebration of the work of Mary Lawrence, who successfully implemented the Green Party Animal Rights Committee. And on December 8th, 2016, Mary and her co-chair, Craig Seaman, initiated their video conference series. Their first honored guest was Matt Funicello, the vegan Green Party congressional candidate. Matt was also my guest on Vegan Nation during the election time. And here's Matt and Mary.
As a vegan, I have made this choice and I want to set that example, and I hope that other people will follow it. And to try to educate where the education is fact-based. And then we can talk about the karmic effects of being carnists.
I always say it's about connecting with our natural empathy and understanding also that the idea of how would you want to be treated? Do you think it would be fair to have your life be wonderful and then all of a sudden somebody say, you know what, you're done, I'm gonna kill you.
Yeah.
So fairness and connecting with empathy, and really that's about social justice too.
Join us next week at this time where we'll bring you more news on living a vegan lifestyle. Hear this program again at wcuw.org/vegannation. Theme music provided by Will Tuttle. This is Marlene Narrow wishing you a good day. This is The Turkey Song. I'd like to thank all our listeners for tuning in to Vegan Nation.